Oh, hello, mamas, and welcome to another episode of Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven, brought to you by Alana Song. I am Angela Presley, your host for today, and I'm just so excited and happy that you've joined me today. Today, we have a mom that I've been anticipating interviewing all week. We have Stephanie here. Stephanie is here to tell us about her journey. She's here to talk to us about her son, Jackson. So Stephanie, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm hate that I'm here, but I'm glad to be here to help other moms and just get to share my story today.
Yes, yes. So the way I kick off each show, I like for moms to tell us about their baby. Whatever you want to share with us about Jackson, whatever, you know, you want to give to us, let us love on him a little bit before we get started.
Well, Jackson was a redhead, so he was a precious boy right off the get-go. He was 7 years old when he went to see Jesus. And it was due to a freak accident. He was a very healthy child. Things were going, we're fixing to go to his first football game. And I got the phone call from his dad saying that he had a stomach virus and was not able to go to the football game. And so my husband now was his coach. So he was having to still go to the game. And I ran over and took all the football gear over to the game. And I got home. And after I got home, I found out that I got another phone call, and it was the one that we don't want to receive, that I needed to get to the hospital. And I could hear it in his dad's voice that something had bad happened. I assumed because he told me when I first, you know, the only few things he told me was he was in the shower. So I didn't know exactly what had happened. But when I got to the hospital, his stomach was all distorted. And so I assumed that he drowned, and later to find out that what happened is he got choked and he went to throw up. And he was in the shower. The steam from the shower made him, they think, pass out. He got choked. Mm. He was able to, they actually got him back, breathing again on his own, but apparently he coded again. And when the EMS got there, they didn't have the pediatric tubing and stuff, and they actually was pumping air to his stomach the entire way to the hospital. So when I got there, the first, you know, the doctor told me that he just didn't have a chance. He went too long without oxygen. So that was on October the 1st. And then on October the 2nd is when he was actually declared brain dead. Mm-hmm. So then I had to go through making a choice. And we did say yes to donation. And I'm going to tell you, if you moms out there, that was a wonderful decision for us, because I've got to meet some of his recipients. And I have this one lady, Miss Wanda, that's just been unreal to me. She's from New Orleans, and she calls me, and she always is so grateful and thankful for giving her a second chance. So, but it was just a freak deal what happened to Jackson. They say that Jackson, it usually happens to people who are, you know, drunk or elderly, rarely does it ever happen to anyone who is a healthy child or young person. So it was just like I tell people, it was God's timing for him to to go home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
and nothing previous. He was just a healthy kid, a healthy boy. Nothing with his health.
Even that day. So I have an older son and I have an older daughter. My son was there, and at that time he was 10 years old, and he said that Jackson was running around doing, you know, the things that he usually does. And so he never thought anything about it. He didn't even think he was that sick. So it was just a freak deal. So.
Yeah. Jackson has other siblings. I want to kind of set the scene as far as your family. He has other siblings, and it's you and your husband, and he's the youngest.
He was my baby. Yeah. So that was, it wasn't that losing a child, any child would be difficult. But he was my, the one that kept my house lively. He was my wild man, and that was what was hard. John is really quiet. My daughter, who's older, she's really quiet. But Jackson was full of jokes and just being with that red hair. He had that, he had that other thing that was awesome. He had the little temper that would pop out. So we all see that red hair show up, and he was just, he's one of those special kids from the get-go. So.
Is there a name for what happened to Jackson? What did the doctors, what were they able to go into detail?
No, it's really, I mean, they just tell me it was a freak accident that what happened, because he literally, they think that steam, because they felt like, right before the, to get him in the shower, I mean, he had just eaten, so he had waffles and he drank milk and he made it himself, and that was probably not what you get when you've got a stomach virus, but apparently he was feeling good, went in the kitchen and made him some waffles, and got him some milk, and then that caused him probably to throw up. And the steam from the shower, they're thinking that, he went to pass out at the same time. No one, I mean, at the end of the day, we don't have answers. There's some of us as grieving parents, we'll never have answers to really why this happened. And I just don't. I don't have, and I've had to face the facts of I'm not gonna ever get the answers. I just have to find the positive things about what has happened and where we're being a bereaved mom, where it's taken me, it's made my heart better, and I'm just a better person, and I look at everybody else a different way now, which is, I'm not judgmental. When I see, for example, a homeless person on the street, I'm just wanting to love on them. I'm not thinking he made a bad choice in life or anything. You don't know where people have been. You just can't judge anymore. And I just don't.
That's good.
I tell all the bereaved moms, we're special people, just like Mary was a special mom, and now we're all Marys, so
Oh, that's so good. That's a good nugget right there. Wow. That's good.
Moms, grieving moms have big purposes, and boy, if you ever find a grieving mom like yourself, like you are doing what you're doing right now, there's no grieving mom. You can back us to the hilt. They know we're going to do what we got to do. So, and I haven't, like I say, I love to love on moms and give hugs, and that's the one of the best things that you can do, to heal yourself and to help other grieving moms and show them that you are standing. And that first, that first year is, I tell myself, I tell this to other grieving moms, that first year, there's never going to be another year that's worse than that first year. Now, I was told by many grieving moms, many, and I'm just going to tell you, a lot of grieving moms, they said, oh, that second year is going to be hard, that third year is going to be hard, all these years. But what I said to myself is, I'm going to set my mind and tell my mind there's never going to be another year that's, and it has not been. And that's, it's a mindset. You got to set that mind, because you're never, there's nothing that's going to replace that year. And I give it to God that he covers us that year with numbness and fog, and all these things that get us through that first year. Wow. And then that second year is a reality year, and it's a tough year, but it's not, in my mind, it was never tougher. And this year being my seventh year and Jackson being 7 years old, you know, this is, they called it a golden year or something. I don't know. I've heard it called different names, but it was a bittersweet year. And it's tough. I have a grandson who's 7 years old this year, and he's fixing to turn 8. So he's fixing to be older. And I had a dog that was Jackson's dog that, you know, he's older than my son. I mean, there's a lot of bittersweet moments I've been going. So, but it was still not worse than that first year.
Wow. You just gave in those couple of minutes, you just gave such good stuff. Just such good stuff in those couple of minutes. I want to unpack some of that. When you said, because I feel like I'm walking down this road also, I'm still hopeful, but some days I feel like I will not have an answer. I will not have an answer with it being a stray bullet with Alana.
Right.
They got some guys in custody, but of course they couldn't hold them. So it's just been hair pulling. So I run across moms all the time, all the time, all the time. The whys, the what ifs, the I'll never know. All of these unanswered questions, and we can drive ourselves nuts with these unanswered questions. Please let us know or give us some advice. How did you settle yourself with, you know, I'm not going to get an answer, and that's okay?
So I feel like from the get-go, I'm just going to say, I feel like we all, when they say our days are numbered and the God, you know, when we were put on this earth, that we had a countdown, and we don't know what that countdown is.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to, it, because when you start really thinking about, you know, with your daughter, with my son, with, you know, these things that are not answered, those people, those babies are prime evidence that we're not going to all live to be old. Nothing lined up for Jackson because it wasn't his timing to be here. If it wanted to line up, it would have lined up. I go back and look at my life and think of how many things I've done and done crazy things, and I probably shouldn't have been here.
Oh yeah.
But God's not finished with me. So I'm still here because he's finished. And Jackson's day, that was his day. That was the day for him to leave and go to be with Jesus and to now be my, you know, my angel and my guardian. Yeah. And to watch over my son and watch over our family and take care of us. Yeah. That's how I've had to look at it. I've had to look at that, you know, because I couldn't get the answers I wanted. And then I started digging into the Bible and, you know, talking to Jesus and saying, okay, Jesus, you got me.
Yeah.
And he did. And that's one thing I can say is that first year I was on my knees all the time because I needed him to carry me. And I still need him to carry me at times.
Mm.
There's days that I have bad days and I just say, okay, pick me up. Let's go. Get me where I've got to go.
Yeah.
And right now, this, what you're doing, just think of the things that you're doing. You wouldn't be doing this. This wouldn't be where you are. You know, now we just give God the thanks and the glory of saying, this is, you know, now we're helping others.
Yeah.
So, that's what's hard is, but to get to find that peace, to dig in deep and find the peace of what really makes us tick. And, you know, I had to do a lot of soul searching. I called people from all in my past and had to tell them that I was sorry for whatever I did. I had several people that I called, and the first thing they don't even remember it. And I said, I was mean to you on the bus that day. I remember when those kids picked on you and I didn't stand up for you, you know, and they didn't even know what I was talking about. And I said, well, look, I have to do it. And I just went through the list, everything that was on my heart. I had to call people and I had to clean myself out. And once I got myself good and clean, then I started, because I had to work on myself. And then I had to, from working on myself, then before I could work on others or have the peace, you know, because that's all we're looking for at the end of the day is peace.
Yeah.
Peace. Everybody wants to smile again. I remember looking at a mom and she'd been probably 15, 16 years out. And I saw her and I walked up to her and I talked to her and I said, does it get any better? And she said, sweetheart, it gets softer. And I get it now. So when I'm telling moms or dads, you know, does this get any better? I tell them it gets softer. You know, that means you can get up and you don't cry, you know, that day. And then you go a week and then you go a month and you realize that you've done it. You went through it. And then you feel guilty for not doing it.
Yeah.
But it's okay. That's when you get to the point where like, I had to look at myself because my eyes were getting saggy and things were starting to happen. You know, I was not taking care of me.
Yeah.
And now I remember waking up, looking in the mirror and said, okay, it's time to take care of you, Stephanie. You got to take care of you so you can take care of others.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man. Oh, such good stuff. Such good stuff. It gets softer. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's... How do you describe it now?
I describe it as like an amputee. If you lose that arm, you still learn how to maneuver and keep going.
Yeah.
If you lose that leg, you still learn how to maneuver and keep going. It's you're without it and you miss it, but you still learn how to keep going. That's kind of how I describe it. Oh, but I love softer. It gets softer. That's good. With the year, you keep saying the first year. Go ahead and just give us a little bit of how you told yourself. You told yourself, no, the first year is going to be my worst year. Give us some of that mindset that you told yourself, this is what it's going to be. And how you gathered the strength to stick to that. Because I'm sure you had your days where, okay, I'm not getting out of the bed. I'm not moving today. You know, so give us some of that where you say it's a mindset and the first year is going to be my worst year. I thought that was so good.
So I journaled everything. Mm-hmm. So my first year, did not miss a day to journal. Okay. I still journal. So what I have to do is I just go back and I go look at that journal and I can see where I was. You know, I know where I was and I know where I am now. So when I am having those bad days, but hey, when I have a bad day now, I let myself have that bad day. Because some days we just had a deal the other day for a group of moms and we had a little get together and we all had booths and stuff set up and people and family got to show up. Well, I was okay with packing up all of Jackson's stuff. I was actually excited because I got to hear his name. They all called me Jackson's mom and all that. But the problem was when I went around the booths and I saw these other faces.
Mm.
That's where I had the problem because I felt like these you know, I had to see where these people were, but a lot of these people were not in the same spot that I'm in.
Right.
And I felt that. And I knew that they were having a hard time still. And I could feel that, you know, you read that, you sense that on people. And, you know, I just would, you know, reach out to them. And at that day, I just gave them hugs that day, really. But I told them if they ever needed to talk to someone, to give me a call. And here's my cell number. Because I felt like, you know, that's, sometimes they just need a talk. You don't even have to, I don't have to say a word. I just need to be the listener.
Right.
And, but as far as me getting through and, you know, go back to that question that you asked, or as far as me dealing with that first year, I'd already had myself psyched up. I mean, I told myself that in that journal, I wrote it. You know, they say when you write things, it's more powerful than just saying it. So I wrote it multiple times. And I will give one thing that I will share that somebody told me, and I'm so glad I did do this, was they say as the years go, there's things that you forget.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made this jar. I call it Jackson's jar. And every time I would think of anything with Jackson, that things that he said, birthdays, any day, or somebody else told me a story about him, I would take that note and I'd stick it in Jackson's jar. And then when Christmas comes or birthdays come, those are the days I'd open up that jar and read the things that happened and things that made us laugh. You know, all the stories that we had, because they say down the road, you will end up forgetting some of those stories like we forget everything else. And I didn't want to forget anything about him.
Yeah.
And so I still keep my Jackson's jar still going, you know, like today when I get done, I'm going to put in my Jackson's jar that I did a podcast on him, because I want to remember these things that, you know, before it's over with, it's going to be a mama in a Jackson's jar. But
This is just so good. I'm just soaking it up. I'm just soaking it up, because you're hitting things that we need. We need this. I write down everything. So, you know, I journal, but it did not cross my mind that as time goes on, I'll forget little things that I want to remember. So while you're telling me this, my mind is just rotating. My mind is just rotating. Oh my goodness, this is such good nuggets that you're giving us moms today. Because there's going to be times where we're, you know, we have our alone times. And instead of getting down in the dumps in our alone time, now you're giving us something to, okay, well, let me think and jot it down.
Yeah.
And
so when you're in that alone time too, and especially when you're in a grieving stage, like a long grieving stage, you got to start timing yourself, because that's one of the things I learned through, you know, therapy and other things that, you know, as we go, I'm just going to say we're in our second year or third year, whatever. I'm not even going to talk about the first year, because the first year, you know, it's you're doing what you have to do to survive.
Yeah, it's fog. But it's fog.
It is. But that once you start realizing that, hey, I do need to, you know, I have to work because I have to make a living.
Yeah.
I have to be there for my other kids. There's all these things. I have to be a good wife still because I'm encouraged to work. There's all these things that you have to do. So you have to set these boundaries for yourself. So I used to would set my clock and say, you know what, if I'm going to be in this room and I'm going to do a pity party for me, then I'm going to stay in here for an hour.
Wow.
But after an hour, I'm going to wipe these tears and I'm going to start praising God and I'm going to turn on the music. That's one of the things I'll do, is I'll turn my music on and I just start praising him and giving thanks. And, you know, we're thanking him, things start happening.
Yeah.
Especially when we're hurting like we're hurting. You know, that we're hurting. He doesn't want us to hurt. So he just covers us. And that's, but I was told that through a therapy session that, hey, you can grieve, but just put time limits on it. And it don't have to be an, I'm just saying an hour. It might not, it might be a full 24 hours.
Yeah.
It depends on what your time limits are, but you just set that time limit and then you, but you got, we all have to get back and we can't just give up.
Yes.
You know, we have to get back, have to do the things we have to do because we're still living.
Yes. Yes.
And we see people counting on us, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's, you know, anybody, a friend, people are counting on us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And oh, man, this is just so good. With, you know, where I am with talking to moms, moms all over the globe, talking to moms, it's, you can see, like you said, when you were at an event, you could just feel it. You can just see it that they're still in a very sensitive space. And that's okay. That's okay. Because we all have that time that we are. But for you to expand on putting a time on it, even though, you know, we hear all the time, there's no time limit with grief. And I totally agree with that. I believe until we see our babies again, we're just not going to be satisfied here, completely satisfied here on this earth. But that's so good for you to say, okay, I'm feeling like I want to cry or whatever, kick, scream, whatever today. I've never thought about, well, let's just put a time on it. Let's just put a time on it. And if I need more time, okay, let's expand it for another hour. You know,
yep.
But don't have it in your mind to where I'm just going to grieve all this week, you know, but give yourself
right.
Some time frames. Wow. That's good stuff.
And when you do, you're setting yourself up for, you're setting yourself up in a positive way. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what you're doing. You're setting yourself up into, like, like when I say it's mindset, it's, you know, it is a mindset deal that you've train yourself to start thinking differently. And you almost have to do it because this is what we go through is traumatic.
Oh,
it's it's something that, you know, PTSD, when they talk about what post-traumatic syndrome, you know, all the things that we go through. I mean, it's just, you know, when people ask me about, you know, depression and being crazy and all that, I tell them flat out, every grieving mom's crazy by now. We're depressed. We've been, that's just what we are, but we're okay. You know, that's our new norm, you know, we're going to always be like this. It's not changing. And we're not going to, we can't, you know, put something on it to make it better. We can't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? I'm okay. I'm a crazy mom is what I'll say. Yep. That's me. My son will tell me all the time. He's a senior now. And he says, you embarrass me at times and you do crazy things. And I said, son, we only live once. Where I'm going to have fun doing it. You know, I said, live life the best way I can. And, I'm trying to find the fun part of life to live, you know, and look for the good. So,
yeah, that's good. Give us. It sounds as if you kind of have a way of going about getting through. I'm wondering if you could give us advice on how did the siblings handle the grief, and how did you choose, or how did they choose to get through, or what was that like for the siblings? Because there's so many moms out here who saying, I can't grieve the way I want to because my kids are grieving so bad. and they have to be strong for them. So if you can, I don't know how it went for the siblings, and if you can give us an insight on how you handled that.
So I'm remarried, and my husband, which he met Jackson when he was 3, and so Jackson, he had 4 years with Jackson, and so he grieves totally different from the way I grieve.
Yes.
And at first with the way he grieved, he was upset with the way I was grieving. I did differently. I went on social media, I talked to moms, I did all these things, and he actually understand me. I understood, stepped back and looked to the way he was grieving, and kind of respected him, but he wasn't respecting me. So I ended up getting a letter from somebody from another, it was actually at Christmas time, is because I call it my little Christmas gift. It was my second year. And this family, when they sent me a letter, and they sent $20 in it. And after I read it, I turned that letter and handed it to him. I said, "Now read this letter." And what this letter was, that they found me on Facebook. They prayed for Jackson to live. And then after he didn't live, they kept watching. And they noticed that they watched me watched me on Facebook, and they paid attention. And one of the things they wanted was to have what I had. And they said, they decided they'd all go to church, and they ended up getting baptized and da da da. And they were wanted to thank Jackson, because I told them, they knew that it wasn't for Jackson, they would have never found me.
Wow.
So until that happened, he never understood. And then when he got that letter, he understood. So that helped me. So I didn't actually had to, I guess I didn't have to work on him, and he didn't have to work on me, because that letter, and I told that family, I wrote them back and said, "You saved my relationship for sure," because he never understood. Now my two kids, which my daughter's older, and my son, now he's 17 and my daughter's 31. So she was having kids on her own. So she took it extremely hard, because she pretty much helped me raise these boys.
Yeah.
When I was, I had her at 20, and I think I had Jackson at 35.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then her having kids, she already knew what motherhood felt like. So she's just now starting to go to grieving events and stuff with me, but she has bad anxiety. And what I do with my kids, because they're both of them are different than I am, I just work the way that they need to be worked on. I don't try to change them, because I knew how Greg was trying to, and I wasn't going to be changed or couldn't be changed. I had to deal with it. You almost have to deal with it the way you're made and created. Everybody's got their ways. But my son had to write a paper for college, and after he finished the college paper, I walked in and I said, "What are you writing?" He said, "Well, I'm writing my intro English paper for college." And he said, "Would you like to read it?" And I said, "I'd love to." Well, I bawled my eyes out, because it was all about Jackson and what he's gone through, and how he was before Jackson passed, that he was the quiet person, and that he wanted to be more like Jackson. He wanted to walk in the room and brighten people's with smiles and be good to people. He said before he never would acknowledge people. Like, he said Jackson would walk up to you and shake your hand and say, "Hey, I'm Jackson Jimminville, nice to meet you." Now John does that. So John says his goal was to be like Jackson. And so I think we, as far as the parents with the siblings, I mean, there's a lot of counseling that's out there. As we keep growing these grieving mom groups, there's a lot of nonprofits that are coming up. I feel like, you got to find the right group, and you got to find, I'm a believer in Jesus. So I wouldn't want my kids to step outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, you know, you got to make sure you find the right person. If you go to a counselor, then, and if it's not, if you don't feel good, then it probably is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Go to, you know, I've been fortunate to, my background has been healthcare before. Me and my husband bought some businesses, and I've been around a lot of good people, know a lot of good healthcare workers. And so I've been fortunate to get good help when I needed it. And I think that's what's important, that you got to find people that can help you, point you in the right directions, because these kids, it is important that they get counseling or they get to grieve.
Yes.
And we just got to understand. I tell them to get journals, you know, there's things that they can start doing.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, this is an individualized deal. That's for sure. There's not one person out there that does it the same. There's no book on really how to do it correctly. So, you know, you just have to do the best job and acknowledge that they do need help when they need help, and then try to give it to them the best way you can.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it right, it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. That's okay. What being a parent is. We don't have books on this thing. I mean, we all try to do the best job we can. That's, at the end of the day, that's all we know to do.
Yeah.
So,
So before we get ready to wrap up, I got a couple of more questions, but before I get to the last couple questions, you said your son wrote the paper about Jackson and how he was. And I'm getting a sense that there was a light about him. There was a light about him. Yeah, yeah. A love and a light about him. And I get this so often with mamas who, you know, don't get me wrong, all of our kids have a light. Did you, now that he's in heaven, do you feel that his spirit kind of knew, I'm only here for so long, so I got to shine as bright as I can? Is there something spiritual that you felt that now that you look back, you're like, I see it now. I see it now.
You know, you say that, 90% of the grieving moms I talk to tell the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's all that child, that one.
Mm.
It's the one that was, it was the one that was almost perfect.
Yeah.
But kids realize is I love that child probably more than I lived anything in life.
Mm.
My own kids all know it. I mean, they knew that we were very close. I was very close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of things I had to sit back and think about, because I thought, you know what? I wouldn't want it to be any of my kids. But the one that it was, Jackson could go. So Jackson, he wouldn't have been able to live. Like if I would have died, he wouldn't have been able to live without me.
Mm.
My other two would. They would have made a way. But Jackson wouldn't have made it, because he loved me just like I loved him. And I thought, you know what? It was crazy how I started thinking out of all the kids, like,
yeah,
he couldn't have made it without his mama. And now I don't have to worry about him at all. That's a huge blessing. I constantly worry about my daughter and I constantly worry about my son.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and now Jackson would have been the one, cause he'd already had a broken arm. He'd already done all these crazy things. You know, I would have been worried about him all the time.
Yeah. It's so funny that you say that, because I told my, Alana has an older brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, had it been you or you, Alana wouldn't have made it. She wouldn't have made it without you guys.
Same thing with Jackson.
He wouldn't have made it. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. It's a certain light about them. It's a certain love about them. And oh, it's so funny that you say that. Had it been my oldest son or daughter, Alana would not have made it without them. Oh, man, man, that's so good. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead because I know you got to get on with your day. Go ahead for all the moms that's listening out there. Go ahead and let us know what you're doing in Jackson's honor, or what are you doing as far as grieving moms? Tell us where moms can find you.
Well, I'm actually in Lafayette, Louisiana. So my name is Stephanie Cook Eckler. So you can find me on Facebook, and I pretty much, when moms reach out to me on Facebook and message me, you know, I go, you know, I talk back and forth to them. I don't mind at all. So I give out my phone number. I've talked to moms at 2 o'clock in the morning if needed to be.
Yeah.
Just whenever somebody needs me, you know, I'm there. So that's, you know, God's put the call in on my life to talk to grieving moms and help grieving moms. And that's just what we do now.
Yeah. So on Facebook, you can be reached through Facebook. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And you'll see Facebook, you know, what I encourage, you know, I have not had my nonprofit started, and I know there's a lot of grieving moms that start their nonprofits, and I've not actually done anything Jackson's honor. However, I know my day's coming still.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know I'm going to do something. I always said when grieving moms, we do things big, and I know something big's going to happen. Don't know what it'll be. You know, the good Lord only knows it, but He's preparing me for that right now.
Oh, you know? Definitely. Definitely. Oh, it's going to be big. I'm just talking to you in this podcast, just getting all your nuggets. I know it's going to be big. Yeah.
And I in my journal too. So I'm going to go back to my journal one day and say, yep, I see. I told you. Yeah. When it first started, I told this to my pastor's wife, and actually they had lost a child. And I told them when all this took place, I remember writing down, it's in my journal, that you know, some big time person's going to call me, Oprah or somebody like that, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Anybody bigger than Oprah. But I was like, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be big one day. And they, you know, and that's just what it is.
I'm in agreement.
We just look, we just have to find whatever, you know, whatever that makes us happy and do what we do.
Yeah.
You know, other grieving moms, because sometimes they cannot go out and talk to other grieving moms. This ain't their calling, but they have another one, like, depending on how their child passed away, they might, you know, especially like a drowning, they might help prevent drowning.
Yeah.
You know, they just go after different things.
Definitely. You know?
But there's a lot of ways to connect to with other grieving moms, and that's the thing, is to find another sister that you can talk to on a regular basis that you can connect. Help you through each, you know, hard day. And I call it really season, you know, because we're all in a season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a season of going through the 7-year 7, you know, next year he's going to be older. So I'm in a season right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all in different little seasons in our grief stages.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, Stephanie. So my last question for you for the podcast before we say goodbye. Stephanie, I ask all my mamas at the end, what are your hopes of heaven?
Well, I know the day that I close my eyes and I go see Jesus is going to be a glorious day.
Yes.
After I lost Jackson, I sit down and wrote down what I want to sit at my funeral. I'll party. They're going to be, it needs to be a celebration.
Yeah.
I have a brother that's already there. I have another sister that's there that my mother had was a, she was a stillborn. Her name's Andrea. So I just, my goal is to get there before any more of my kids get there. Yeah. But other than it will be a, it will be a celebration party. So,
yes.
And the good Lord knows it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's been preparing.
Yep.
He's been preparing. Stephanie, I love your hopes of heaven, a celebration. I love it. I love it. All right. So I want to thank you. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you from all the moms all over the globe who will be listening. This has definitely been an honor. You have given so many nuggets to us in this podcast, and I'm I will be using a couple myself. To get started on. So it's just been an honor to have you here. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing Jackson with us.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for reaching out. Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Yeah. All right. So moms, thank you for another episode of joining us today. If you are an angel mom or you know an angel mom who would be a great guest on the show, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook and message me, and I will be sure to get you in for an interview. Go ahead. This podcast is brought to you by the Alana Song Store. So go ahead and jump online and purchase some Angel Mom merch for a mom that you may know, or for yourself. Just jump online. Thank you so much for joining us today. Bye-bye.